Today, our scripture lesson comes from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then 6 through 14. Again, that's 2 Kings, verses 1 through 2, and then 6 through 14. I want you to hear the word of God. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, and this is where it gets challenging, Elijah and Elisha together, "Stay here, for the Lord had sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." And as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
What do you want? All right, so this morning is an interesting scripture, and I promise to you, I didn't go and pick it out. It actually is in the lectionary today. It was very surprising. I don't know if a Methodist came up with the lectionary and decided there needed to be a passing of the mantle scripture on the Sunday in which pastors leave their churches, but it just happened to fit that way. And so to those of you watching it online, that's Harper's Head. So this scripture is interesting in that it talks about a passing of the torch, so to speak. Elijah is the one who has done all this amazing stuff, right? Harper, stop jumping. Elijah's done all this amazing stuff, right? He's done miracles. He's defeated the prophets of Baal. He spent time a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, complaining about how he was the only prophet in the whole of Israel that cared about God and this, that, and the other. Meanwhile, he has a protege, right? What about Elisha? And even Elijah kind of prefigures Jesus in the way that he goes around and he calls Elisha out of a field. Does it sound familiar? Elisha is out tending crops, tending his animals, and Elijah comes up and says, "Hey, come and follow me." And sound like anybody you know, right? And he goes, and Elisha says, "Okay," goes, slaughters his cattle, and feeds them to the village, and then goes and follows Elijah. And they do all this great stuff together. And you imagine Elisha is hoping that it never ends, right? Elisha is all those disciples from the New Testament put together. He's learning and soaking in everything he can from this mentor that he has. This mentor who in his eyes can do no wrong, right? And Elisha is watching everything that Elijah does, thinking, "I want to be like him when I grow up," right? Now, I hope that you've all had somebody like that in your life. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's somebody in your profession. Maybe you've had a whole bunch of them over the years, right? And I know that in my case, I can look at things that I do in church. I'll just limit it to ministry mentors. But I've had several mentors in the time that I've been a pastor. And when I do certain things in church, I can say, that's Mary John. That's something that she taught me to do. That's Todd, though. That's Reverend Struble. And then I can say, you know what, but that's Craven. And that's Kitty. Right? That's things that, and lo and behold, all these things that I do and the way that I lead and the way that I talk and the way that I preach and even kind of mannerisms and things like that, it's all cobbled together from all those other mentors that I've had. And you have the same thing. You may not know it, but if you've got a cookbook with recipes, you've had mentors, right? This is Granny's cornbread recipe, right? This is Meemaw's, special chocolate cake, right? All these different things are important in your development, whether that's as a cook, as a minister, as a mother, as a stockbroker, whatever it is that you do, you have these mentors. And what we don't like is change. And I would argue that 99.9% of us don't like change. We may say we like change, but we really don't. And the reason I know that is because every one of you sit in the same seat every week. Right? If I'm the same way. I came in this morning. The folks in Sunday school can tell you. I always sit in a certain row in Sunday school. And I went there and Kristen just ignored me and went to a different pew. And I was like, ugh, now I've got to get up and go sit somewhere else. I don't like change. I don't want, I get upset if the flowers don't come up in the same place. I don't like if McDonald's takes away the McRib. I don't like, right? And we don't like change. We get comfortable in the way things are. But here's the truth of life, is that change is a constant, right? Whether that change is the color of our hair, whether that change is a job promotion or moving to a different place, whether that change is a new home or a new child that's born or a child moving away and going off to college or getting married and all those different, right? All these different things are changes and they make us uncomfortable, but they can also be wonderful blessings, right? I want you to think about this story. Elijah is heading off. He knows where he's going. Elijah, the prophets in the Old Testament, at least some of them, particularly Elijah, get almost this special relationship with God where they get to know when time is up, right? Moses knows when his time is up. Elijah knows when his time is up. Now, Moses just kind of disappears. Elijah gets to go up on a chariot of fire. That's pretty darn cool, right? That's a good exit. He clearly has a flair for the dramatic, and he always has, right? Remember the prophets of Baal and all that, pouring all the water on the fire and making fun of them and all that kind of stuff. He likes some drama. And so you know he's going to leave in a fancy way. And he's ready to go. He's done his bit, right? He's opposed evil kings. He's defeated Jezebel. He's done what God has told him to do. He's had his ups. He's had his downs. And now it's time for him to go off into that reward. And he's ready. Only thing is, he's got this mentor or mentee that's following him around. And Elisha said, he's like, come on, I got to go over here. I'm going a long way. Just stay back here. It's a long walk. I'm never going to leave you. So they walk off a little bit. They go to the next town. God's sending me to the Jordan River. You don't want to make that long walk. It's no fun. Nope, I'm coming with you, I promise. Get all the way to the Jordan River. Because Elisha doesn't want things to change. Because he's comfortable with the way things are. He's happy with the way things are. And there's some comfort in being second banana, isn't there? He doesn't have to be the one that Jezebel wants to kill. That's Elijah. But now Elisha's going to have to be the one in charge. And that's not all that fun, is it? Harper is convinced right now, and I think all little kids are, that when they grow up, everything's going to be great. You can have the sucker if you want it, babe. Everything will just be great when I'm a grown-up, right? Except it's so much more fun when you're a kid, right? Now, I can have cake anytime I want, but I also have to pay taxes, and I have to go to work, right? All that stuff, there's trade-offs, okay? And so, but we all, when we're young, we think, oh yeah, if I could just drive a car, that'd be perfect. As soon as I can get my license, everything's gonna be great. But it's actually much different. And it doesn't mean it's bad, it just means it's a change, and it's hard to get used to. So Elijah is leaving, and Elisha doesn't want him to, but he has to. And Elijah is going on to something good, right? This is not that Elijah is going to be cast off and just disappear. Where is he headed? To be with the Lord, right? He's off to go to what we might call heaven, what they would call an eternal reward, off to the next step in his life. It's exciting. And he gets to do it in a flaming chariot of fire, by the way. But Elisha is thinking, I can't do that. I don't have the same skills that Elijah has. I don't have that same panache. I don't know how to call down chariots of fire. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. And yet, the transition happens anyway. And Elisha asks for double the spirit of Elijah. And here's the great thing. We don't know whether he actually gets it, right? What's the condition? If you see me as I'm taken from you. And he watches and he watches and he watches, but then he loses sight of him. So there's a couple of ways you could look at this. One, yeah, he did it. He saw Elijah start on his journey, and so he gets the gift. Or he didn't. He didn't see it. He missed him. And so he doesn't get that double part of Elijah's spirit. I don't know which it is. I'll let you judge. Elisha, no doubt, thinks that once Elijah leaves, Elisha is going to be a disappointment. He thinks that he's not going to do as good as Elijah. He thinks that people are going to look at him and be like, ugh, this is the understudy, right? Have anybody ever gone to like a Broadway show or the Peace Center or something like that, and you think, I'm going to get to see Lin-Manuel Miranda, and you get the understudy instead, right? You're disappointed. That's what he thinks is going to happen. But I just went to the next like four chapters to see what Elisha does. Okay, very next thing Elisha does is he purifies the water in a town where people are getting sick. He does a miracle. Then he meets a widow who everything has been stolen from her except one partial jar of oil. And he tells her to go around to everybody in the town and collect jars from them, empty jars, and start pouring her oil in there. And she pours so much, she fills up every jar from that little jar. And he says, now sell all that back to them, and you'll get all your money back. So he helps a widow who's starving. He restores the Shunammite woman's son to life. Remember that story? The woman who she had, first he tells her she's going to have a baby. She has a baby. The son grows up, and then the son dies, or seemingly dies. Elisha brings him back to life. Then he multiplies food to feed 100 people. Again, who does that sound like? And then he cleanses Naaman, who is very sick and unclean. That's just in the next four chapters. He does amazing things, even without Elijah. So here's what I want to say this morning. Elijah moving on to his next thing was a good thing. Elisha becoming the leader was a good thing. All that was required was faithfulness in all circumstances. And somebody came along who looked at Elisha and said, wow, I want to be like him. And the cycle continued. And the mantles were passed and great things were done. I have loved the time that I've gotten to be with y'all at Emmanuel. I wish that it hadn't been in the middle of a global pandemic. That would have been really nice. It was challenging, it was difficult, it was weird. I never thought that I would sing so many solos in a church, right? Or have to be the bad guy that makes people wear masks and tells them that we're not going to have in-person church that Sunday because I'm desperately trying to make sure that you don't die and things like that. Not things I wanted to do. Same with Elijah, right? We don't choose the times in which we're together, but we can choose the ways in which we're together. And I have felt so welcomed and so blessed in the time that I've been here, even in the midst of really crappy outside world stuff, right? And that is a blessing. And I thank you for that. And as I go on to Jackson's Grove, I can only hope that it will be as friendly and as welcoming and as loving. But what I do know is that Christ is going to do really cool stuff there. Not me, Christ. And the same thing here. That Reverend Sullivan is going to come in here, and it's going to be really weird at first Sunday. Just like it was with me, right? Except she'll actually get to shake your hands, and that's really cool. But it's going to be really weird. And then after a couple weeks, it's going to be less weird. And then you're going to be like, wow, what a wonderful blessing that God has given us. And she's going to say, wow, what a wonderful blessing that I've been given to be among these people. And you're going to do really cool stuff. I don't know if it's going to be a double portion of grace and spirit like Elisha wants. But whether or not he got that double portion, he did really amazing stuff through the Holy Spirit and through God. It's going to be the same here. And that's why I am happy to be a United Methodist, because I know that we have this really cool system where bishops and district superintendents and church PPRC committees and everybody gets together and they pray and they discern and they say, how can we work with the Holy Spirit to fill places and to help the congregations become closer to Christ? And I really believe that it works. And so I know that Reverend Sullivan is going to be blessed, and I think that you will be blessed with her. And I want y'all to welcome her next week. That may be, you know, I have given a cool thing that's like a order of welcome, and I hope that you do that because I think it's really cool, and I've always liked it when it's been done at churches that I've come to. But part of that is to have the former pastor to leave a stole or a mantle, so close to a mantle as we have, to leave a stole for the next pastor. And so that's what this is. This is going to, I'll put it on the altar before, at the end of the sermon. And it's to remind us as a sense of continuity between each different generation of leadership. Now, your church doesn't do the, I'm going to be irreverent here for a second, okay? The wall of dead white men, okay? Some churches have that in their church, like every pastor that's ever served, and it tends to be a whole bunch of old white dudes, right? And but you all don't have that. But you know, you remember back when so-and-so was here and what happened, and you remember the ones that were great preachers but really didn't know how to talk to people, and you remember the ones that were great at visiting but you fell asleep every Sunday, and you remember the one that you really liked but your neighbor on the pew thought was the worst, and you remember the one that was the Clemson fan and the one that was the South Carolina fan, and you remember the one that had no clue about sports ball and all that kind of stuff. You remember those things, and you remember them with joy. And so I know that that's where I pass on after today, is into that time of memory. And I will cherish the time that we have had together. And I look forward to hearing through the DS and through all those meetings, the wonderful things that y'all are doing as you're able to do more and more, opening back up, getting into the schools, having permission to do those things and to reach out and be the hands and feet, as Kathy always says in Sunday school, to be the hands and feet of Christ. That's all we can hope for. And even though we don't like change, we know that the Lord has been with us and the Lord will be with us. Amen? Amen. Amen.